Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Right Fit, Fitness Wellness Performance, and Vestibular Training Products. We've got a great doubleheader today, Dr. Tammy Penhallow. She's an osteopathic pain management and regenerative medicine physician. She's going to touch on the obesity concerns with the virus, with COVID-19. And then Dr. Matt Barkoff, he's a fellow podiatrist, podiatric foot and ankle specialist. We're going to be talking about podiatry's role in sports and fitness, and it's a sports doctor's in and emails. First, let me welcome Dr. Tammy Penhallow. Again, an osteopathic physician. She's had quite a career in the Navy, in the world of sports medicine, pain management. So, Dr. Tammy, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's great to be here.
Give us some background on you and your career.
Okay. I did medical school in Kirksville, Missouri, internship in Spokane, Washington, and went immediately active duty with the Navy as a general medical officer, which is kind of like a family practitioner for a battalion of 720 people in Kosovo. Had a 12-year Navy career where I lived all over and practiced all over the world, including a couple of years in Spain and a couple of years in Japan, and deployments to Kosovo, Guam, and Djibouti, Africa. And I'm an anesthesiologist trained in the Navy at Walter Reed National Medical Center in D.C., and I did a pain fellowship in pain management in Stanford University. And now I've got my own regenerative medicine practice, and I'm still doing some anesthesia here in Phoenix.
Where are you?
Scottsdale, Phoenix area. Yes, sir.
Okay. Is it still 120 degrees there?
We're just about right in the high 90s, low 100s. So it's starting to turn the corner.
It's like, really, it's like absolute, like perfect weather. The area of pain management, you know, the area of pain, we talk about it a lot on the Sports Doctor, the nightmare of the whole pain pill scourge that we're still in the middle of really, really dealing with. And the exciting parts of regenerative medicine and sports medicine. We talk a lot about medicine from around the world, complementary medicine, Eastern and Western cultures, and it sounds like you've actually experienced some of that. But one of the things we wanted to touch on in today with the virus and COVID-19 is this real concern with obesity and that connection. Give us some comments on that.
Okay. I can comment both as an anesthesiologist and a pain doc. When I'm doing anesthesia, I see an average of 30 to 40 patients a day as I'm screening them for outpatient endoscopy procedures like an EGD or a colonoscopy. And I keep stats. And over 43% of my patients in these outpatient centers have a body mass index of greater than 30. So that qualifies them as obese. Over 8% of those are considered morbidly obese or a body mass index greater than 40%. And then I'll roll in not just the outpatient surgery center, but I also do some work at the Mayo Clinic, and that's where I see patients with a body mass index of over 50 or over 60. And that consists of 2% of my patients. So it's not a small number. If we're looking at an overall obesity rate in the United States, close to 50%, you know, I've got 43% in my practice. Yeah, it's crazy.
Dr. Tammy, I've been talking about childhood obesity on my show for 25 years, give or take a few weeks. as well as general obesity. And already there's all, whether it's physical, joint problems, all sorts of problems with the obesity, being overweight, whether it's the whole mental side of things, we've talked about the belittling and the problems and the bullying that children go through, and things like diabetes and high blood pressure and all of these things. And we are still in a mess with that stuff, with obesity.
That's an epidemic. It is an epidemic. We're in a pandemic right now, but we've got an epidemic in our country with obesity. And as it relates to the pandemic, we've shown, you know, Columbia University has shown that if you are morbidly obese, a body mass index greater than 40, you are more likely to be intubated and to die if you're less than 68 years old. Normally we say this is a disease of the old people. It's the people who are going to die are those greater than 68, but not so if you're concerned. And I'm really worried about
This is something, this is one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, absolutely, when we're talking about fitness and wellness and the ability to try to stay as well as we can, try to have our immune system be as positive in effect. And, of course, we know that exercise is so important about that. And obesity has always been this gigantic, pardon the pun, elephant in the room. And we're very familiar with that. And the big surprise to a lot of people, including medicine, is what you just said. Wow, this becomes a real concern with the COVID virus, which is, it's as bad as somebody who might be a diabetic. You know, they're talking about these secondary underlying conditions and how dangerous that could be, especially in the older population. And then you'd say, but holy cow, half the population is obese. Even though the body mass index between me and you, you could keep as far as its relevancy. You know, some of the best athletes in the world, when you measure them, you know, they come out as obese, you know, with that BMI index. So I've never been a giant fan of that, you know. But when we talk about the this connection, this is a big educational challenge, it seems, isn't it?
It really is. It's that you might think there's nothing wrong with these people other than that they have obesity, but they just may not have manifested outwardly the signs of obstructive sleep apnea, hypertension, diabetes, or coronary artery disease. So when they do get sick, and then we're looking at something that affects the lungs and the ability of that diaphragm to move, and you've got the abdominal mass on the diaphragm preventing it from moving, amongst other metabolic things going on, that's how you see that the pathophysiology can work and that these patients can then be gravely affected by the virus, as they were in the H1N1 and the other flu pandemics of the early
1900s. Yeah, that's a surprise to a lot of people also. Everybody, you are listening to The Sports Doctor, Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back close to 10 years, people from all over the world, all sorts of different great topics. You could listen to whatever you would like. I think before that, we have to find the real-to-real stuff somewhere in a closet. But if you want to go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read an endless array of articles on everything from the world of concussions to the challenge of youth sports to what's the best shoe to one of my most popular articles, Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter, maybe 10,000 on LinkedIn. We get a lot of guests through those communities, and you could follow us. We have great information on those vehicles at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking to Dr. Tammy Penhollow, osteopathic physician, regenerative medicine, pain management, you know, anesthesiologist, and the anesthesiologists really become the experts in the world of pain medicine. Now, you were quite an athlete. Maybe you still are yourself. I know you had quite a bit of action in the world of sports medicine. You know, regenerative medicine is such a big deal. Talk a little bit about that.
It is a great thing for athletes who don't want to undergo surgery. Surgery can potentially be career ending. If we're talking high-level athletes and elite athletes, and a lot of even our everyday weekend warriors don't want to have to undergo surgery. So what we found with regenerative medicine, as I'm sure so many of your guests have touted, that people are able to return to play faster, and they're using their own cells. They're using either bone marrow aspirate concentrate or they're using PRP, and these things are not considered performance enhancing. It's not blood doping. It's not going to get them in trouble at the Olympic level or any other level.
It's only performance surviving.
Exactly.
I've renamed performance enhancing drugs over the years to, don't tell anybody, performance surviving, which many times is when these athletes fall into the trap. I've got to play, the crazy schedules. And again, the world of pain management has exploded, you know, times 100. Thank God, with many, many new alternatives to the opioid scourge that we're still in the middle of. And the idea that, again, no side effects when you're using parts of that patient's own body.
Yes.
And you're using some of these right stem cells or protein-rich plasma, where you are not dealing with the nightmare of side effects, that alone seems like a gigantic big deal. Dr. Tammy, what website or where could people go to find out about you and what you're doing?
The practice website is Precision, Precision, MedPrP.com.
Okay, and again, the situation of, you mentioned it, the weekend warrior, everybody wants to stay active. They want to stay healthy as long as they can. And many times we see, again, that we start running into all sorts of overuse problems. And it's exciting to see that sometimes regenerative medicine can be helpful also in some of the younger populations when you're looking to calm down some of these chronic joint problems, because again, the situation, one of the reasons that I co-wrote the book, Dr. Tammy, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic in capital letters with youth sports overuse injuries. I'm sure you're in the middle of that because you worked with a lot of different teams and whatever. Did you coach or were you the team doctor? What were you doing?
In medical school, I was the president of the Sports Medicine Club, and we were the team docs for all of the high school, junior high, and college teams in Missouri, where we were at in Kirksville. And after that, it was just more of a participant or doing the coverage at a marathon or those kind of things, just to keep my feet wet and to keep myself in it. So, yeah, I see a lot of athletes that way. And another good thing about regenerative medicine in the athlete is you are using their own cells, not corticosteroid. More and more studies are coming out showing that knees that have had steroid in them are more likely to go on to a TKA or a replacement than those that have not had steroid, not to mention bringing it back around on the effect of corticosteroids and suppressing the immune system and the COVID. And now flu on top of COVID.
Yes, you know, it's interesting, of course. You know, cortisone has always been one of the magic ingredients, injection of cortisone, one of our most powerful, mostly safe. We ran into trouble when it started being repetitively used because it worked. And it ended up being degenerative, which I think was a surprise to some of these athletes over the years. You know, I had 20 injections in one knee. I had 15 injections in the other knee. And you know, the cartilage is shot. Everything's worn out. So the ability to have healthy aspects, I think, is one of the most exciting things we would see. How young in the population do you feel regenerative medicine can apply? When indicated?
When indicated, I can see it in the teens. You know, we've got these kids that go, for example, the soccer farms, and they've been placed into these rotations where they move away from their family and they're just working towards becoming a professional soccer player or football on the other side of the pond. And I know that they're starting at that age.
Yes, and many times we see,
reject them.
You know, mechanically, you know, with half of these kids, what you need to do, this is my pearl for the week from the sports doctors, you got to pay big attention to foot mechanics. You got to pay big attention to the role of orthotics when we're dealing with some of these chronic overuse problems where we start to see that we're not paying enough attention many times to biomechanics. Is this kid in the right shoe? But it is interesting to see and exciting that the, you know, part of some natural ways to be able to calm some of these overuse injuries down. Of course, at the same time, you know, cutting back on the schedule, I call it intelligent rest, is always a tough sell. And yeah, especially, again, you know, in your world where you're dealing with the individuals from A to Z, even in the obesity world, you know, that's why I ask you, how's your psychology skill, Dr. Tammy?
So much of this is about that. And when I look at my obese patients, I have to think, are they even a good candidate for surgery, even if they've got an orthopod saying, I want to replace your knee, but at a BMI of 58, they are an extremely high risk for A, the joint to fail, and B, just for undergoing anesthesia. So a lot of surgeons won't think that they're a good risk for surgery. How I look at it and speak with them and say, wow, what's the primary goal? To get you moving. There's nothing wrong with your platelet-rich plasma right now. There's nothing wrong with your blood. We can still draw that, spin it down, and precisely deliver it to the knees, get you moving, working towards strengthening and weight loss. And that starts the cascade. It starts a very large, big ball that rolls down the hill fast and gathers momentum. And that may be the impetus that changes everything for them. But do I think it's just inject and say goodbye, see you later? Absolutely not. That's when we bring in somebody to work on mechanics, somebody to work in on nutrition, somebody to work in on the pain psychology aspect of things. So it's one part.
It's a mental game. You know, we talk so much about the mental game. Wow, the time flew. Dr. Tammy Penhallow, she's an osteopathic physician, regenerative medicine. Give us some insights to anesthesiology. Give me quickly again that website, Tammy.
It is precisionmedprp.com.
Thank you so much. Hold on quickly, everybody. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We're back. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Hey, we're going to hang around podiatry. Want to welcome Dr. Matt Barkoff, foot and ankle specialist, foot and ankle surgeon. He's out there in my home area, the Long Island area. Dr. Matt, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, podiatry's been in the middle of all levels and all aspects of sports, wellness, fitness. I want to talk about that subject with you, but give us a little background on you and your practice.
Well, along with my partner, Dr. Christopher Ferguson, we have an office in Manhattan, and we've been in Manhattan since around 1991. And we have an office in Levittown, Long Island. And we've been out in Nassau County, Long Island, since 93. And we have a well-rounded practice. But over the last few years, we've gotten more involved in sports medicine, in conservative care of the foot and ankle. And we do a lot of orthotics and laser therapy to that end.
Yes, we've been talking a lot for the years on the Sports Doctor about the role of orthotics and custom orthotics. I tell people all the time, you know, one of my poster boys, well, first it's the 85 Bears, but this little 10-year-old that we put orthotics in his figure skates back in 96, 12 years later, was the Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. So we pay big attention to the role of the foot and its effect on other parts of the body in so many different ways. Orthotics are one of our biggest weapons. And I understand, like you mentioned, there's been a lot of excitement about laser therapy as far as enhancing healing.
It's been changing, completely changing our practice, being able to avoid the anti-inflammatories, the NSAIDs and their effect on the stomach and the kidneys, being able to offer patients a totally conservative that they feel better right away when it comes to tendon pain and chronic problems. The laser is such a safe and such a wonderful addition to the practice.
And the ability of helping tissues heal, you know, calming down inflammation, reducing soreness, has always been one of the great values of laser. For the most part, it's a painless application. And, you know, all these different sprains, strains, tendinitises, even sometimes arthritic problems seem to be responding to laser therapy. And how valuable have you found, Dr. Barkoff, the role of orthotics in the world of fitness and sports?
Well, with the orthotics, in New York, our practice is limited to foot and ankle. So many orthopedic doctors are sending us patients not just with foot and ankle pain, but patients with back pain, hip pain. I've even helped people with shoulder pain by realigning the anatomy by maybe making an orthotic to compensate for a limb length discrepancy. It is amazing the change you can make in someone's structure. And as far as sports goes, the biggest challenge we find is making sure that the athlete and the parents and the kids are willing to wear the proper cleats and proper sneakers to accommodate the orthotic, because it does take up some room. We can make, there's many different materials, you can make very slim orthotics, but oftentimes you need enough room to accommodate for the different pathologies that we find. But orthotics have been wonderful.
Yes, and most, there's not a sports shoe around that you don't take the insole out, put the custom orthotic in. Rarely is it a problem. I find it's many times it's an educational challenge still, is why we sing the song on the Sports Doctor, Dr. Matt. You know, hey, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee. half the knee problems I've seen in figure skating over almost 40 years are knee trouble. Yes. And I'm a sports podiatrist. So that's one of the biggest, that's one of the keys you mentioned, the orthopedic community who's dealing with all sorts of postural problems, understanding finally, let me underline finally, that the foot mechanics affect everything else. And many times we tell patients or therapists or other doctors, that doesn't mean if you bend over and you pick up something heavy, you say, oh, my back hurts, we're going to say, let's put orthotics in your shoes. But if somebody says, I have had lower extremity problems for years, my hips or my knees or my back, would orthotics help? Then I give it a categorical answer, yes, in many instances. And in order to, like you said, the major word, one of them, you know, you're looking to realign some of these different structures. And I find, you know, that if the coaches and the parents, as well as the young athlete or the athlete themselves, understand the incorporation of what an orthotic is doing, then sometimes that makes a very, very big difference, because today everybody and his uncle is selling arch supports, right, Matt?
Yes.
On the internet,
yes.
On television, everybody's an expert. But there's
exactly.
A huge difference, like a contact lens. We tell people all the time, if you want to go to the store and get readers for glasses, that's a good analogy of over-the-counter arch supports. That's not a custom device. What are some of the conditions that you find the laser? And are you talking cold laser? What type of laser are you talking about in your practice?
The laser that we have one in each office. It's the Remy Class 4 laser. It is lightweight, and the Class 4 lasers, they do give off heat, but it's not painful. It's actually wonderful. It warms up the whole extremity. So the Class 4 lasers increase the amount of oxygen in the tissues, which helps with healing. And I myself have had some chronic Achilles tendonitis, and I use the laser for that, and plantar fasciitis. So many of the patients that come to our office, the weekend warriors, especially in this time of corona, this horrible pandemic, a lot of people they put on weight, and now they want to get out, and they're walking and they're running, and perhaps they're not in the best sneakers, and they're developing heel pain and arch pain and Achilles pain. And the laser is such a wonderful modality to take the condition from an acute to less pain, less swelling, and then we try to get them in an orthotic along with, we'll usually do a six-week laser program. We'll let them try it and then read about it. And we like them to understand they've got to be our partner, whether we're doing the laser or the orthotics. But we use a Class 4 Remy laser, and it's wonderful.
You find that's a modality that you might do once a week, a couple times a week. What type of frequency have you found most effective?
I would say a minimum of once a week for 6 weeks. And we do tell patients, you know, if you're 75-80% better, because the initial laser treatments will feel great, and they'll get out of the chair, and they'll have this wow experience. But to really heal up the tissues, 6 to 10 weeks is recommended. There are 6 to 10 treatments, so I usually recommend once a week for the soft tissue laser treatments.
And you might use these in conjunction, let's say, with the physical therapy that patient might be doing, or the strengthening program. You know, on the sports doctor, I don't want to say we invented rubber band resistance back in the 70s. My little colleague, famous kinesiotherapist Bob Guida, but we used to have to go to tire companies, you know, to make
right.
Some of these rubber bands. But, you know, so strengthening is a very, very big deal when it comes to the foot and ankle. There's not an athlete who wouldn't benefit from strengthening those feet and ankles. And a lot of times it's still semi-ignored, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. My partner, Dr. Ferguson, is, you know, he's telling all the patients that come in, you should be stretching an hour a day, you know, breaking it up and strengthening. The initial, if somebody's got a bad Achilles problem, then we might have them first if it's not torn, but if the spur of the back of the heel is rubbing into the Achilles. In those cases, we might just do the laser, put them in a soft cast for a week or two, and then gradually get them back to stretching. But so much is educating the patients, getting them to stretch. And if I may, Dr. Bob, getting back to the orthotics, I'm amazed sometimes that some of the doctors are not just watching the patients walk, watching them stand. That's the difference when you're getting a properly fitted orthotic, understanding the gait cycle, and it's so important to our success with the patients.
Yes, again, some of the top therapists, I've been very, very fortunate. Again, Bob Guyatt is one of them. If he was dealing with the best athletes in the world or a grandmother, he still wanted to see how they could balance on one foot.
Right.
He still wanted to see how they would be, how stable they were. And this went into the criteria that I really added in the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where I talked about two of the most important exercises for any young athlete to do, whatever their age or level, was one, strengthen those feet and ankles, and two, work balance, work stability. These are the things that sometimes have so much to do with postural problems. Do you guys, do you have a website people can find out about your practice, Dr. Matt?
Oh, yes, we do. It's New West Podiatry, and I believe the URL is www.betterfootcareny.com. And if you just type in, you know, my name or Dr. Christopher Ferguson's name, and my name is Matthew Barkoff, you'll also be able to get to the website.
Yes, and one of the friends of the sports doctor, matter of fact, one of my sponsors, Rich Dubin, he was the publisher of Lower Extremity Review, for just celebrated their 11th year, fantastic magazine, and their new venture that I'm all excited about, MVP Parent Magazine. And you've been doing some work with Rich, haven't you, with your practice and some of his content?
Rich Dubin has been wonderful. He invited me on to a conference, a virtual conference, and he's really helped us in building our website out. And, you know, his magazine is just unbelievably informative. So I can't say enough about the relationship we've developed with Rich Dubin and his magazine and the other aspects that he offers to podiatry and all lower extremity.
Yes. Yeah, Rich has been a... He's been on our show probably half a dozen times over the years. And again, Lower Extremity Review is a magazine that really brings together a whole team approach to the important biomechanics of the lower extremity. There's chiropractic physicians, there's physical therapists, there's orthopedic surgeons, there's podiatrists, all take part. So we are going to be right back with talking with a podiatric specialist and surgeon, Dr. Matt Barkoff, and we'll be right back for another segment to Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking podiatry with Dr. Matt Barkoff, foot and ankle specialist. He's out on Long Island. Gosh, Levittown. I grew up in Massapequa, Long Island. He's also in Manhattan. Have another pearl for you, Matt, when it comes to orthotics. A lot of people ask, you know, does my son or daughter need orthotics? And I always say to them, think about whether they would benefit. When done properly, custom orthotics, you want to be a step or two quicker, you want to have better balance, you want to prevent trouble, orthotics are a big part of that. And that's still news, I think, to so many parents and coaches and other doctors, but they're getting better, don't you think?
Oh, when you mention about prevention, getting a kid into an orthotic who's got an early-stage bunion, no doubt that will help prevent that bunion from progressing. The issue I find is with some older patients that perhaps they had orthotics years before and they didn't have a successful journey with that pair. Well, oftentimes it depends on the casting that's done. It depends on the material that's used, proper education of the shoes to put the orthotics in, as we spoke about in the last segment. So I believe everyone can benefit with a properly made orthotic and a properly fitted shoe. It's just the education and making sure that...
And follow-up.
The proper,
you know, sometimes, Matt, you mentioned the fact that somebody might have had a bad history, problems in the past, and almost all of these people never were followed up. You know, the doctor didn't have them come back. Hey, are you comfortable? How you doing? You know, I've had people in them 40 years, which is one of the reasons why I've never made any money. They don't wear out,
right?
These polypropylene, you know, devices. You know, sometimes that's interesting. It's like a couple of funny stories we would mix in with that. So again, the education that the feet affect the rest of the body. And again, you know, you mentioned like that young kid who maybe has that early bunion, that dislocation. And many times people don't realize foot type is inherited very commonly. We might see, gee, you know, the kid's bow-legged just like his father and grandfather. He's got high arches like his parents. Or, gee, this is the grandma, mom, and the daughter now have the same bunion deformity.
Yes.
So many times people don't understand that, you know, looking at the family history is also sensible, isn't it?
Oh, I'll have a grandparent and a child and the parents, and they'll all take their shoes off, you know, and we'll line them up into each room, making them three different types of orthotics. You know, we have another office in New York City. You know, you mentioned Long Island, but you know, people are walking. Unfortunately, it's a little quiet now, but it's getting busier again, and they're walking on this cement bedrock of New York City. So you've got to have the proper fitting shoes, and the custom orthotics are key to our patients in the city. And
you know, what's amazing, Matt,
yes,
is like today still, probably 50%, I've had shoe people from around the world on the show over the years, 50% of us are not fit properly. When you think, it's like, that's amazing. How could that be? But so many people, including very good athletes, are not fit properly. They assume the same size they were, and many times it's a width concern. So a lot of times, getting parents and young athletes to understand that, you know, what is the best shoe for your son or daughter, for their foot mechanics, and for the sport they're playing, right?
Oh, yeah. And many of these shoes, what's a 9 in one style is an 8 in a different style. So there isn't a very good universal measurement of these shoes, depending upon if they're, you know, from the States or from Europe. There's all different types of shoe measurements. So it's so important to make sure that you wear the shoe for a bit, and you make sure that it's properly fitting.
You know, I want to ask you again, you know, before we run out of time, when you're talking about the laser therapy and the how acute a problem, you know, even though I've had experts on the show that we don't believe in ice anymore, all it does is numb things, it retards healing. My guest, Gary Ryan, wrote the book Iced, you know, the old-fashioned rice principle.
Right.
How early can you bring laser in? Let's say someone sprained an ankle that day, the day before, they're still swollen. Is the laser effective right away?
Right away. Right away, you will see the swelling come down. The effects are immediate, and the pain will resolve 50% of an acute ankle pain right away. Now, oftentimes, they're not coming to our office right after the acute injury. They'll go to an urgent care They'll get to our office a week or so later. But it's a great modality for the acute ankle sprain or foot sprain as well for a chronic problem.
Yeah, you know, the most common thing we see in podiatry, really, in active people, is plantar fasciitis, arch and heel pain, heel and arch pain. It's so common. And, you know, the different modalities sometimes might be used. And do you find that the laser is very helpful for that common nightmare of a problem, plantar fasciitis?
Yeah, that is probably what I use it in. Dr. Ferguson, you know, he does a lot of orthotics in conjunction for plantar fasciitis. But I'll say that, you know, a lot of people are afraid of a cortisone injection. I still use them for plantar fasciitis when there's a lot of pain. It does help, but they don't want the needle. And you can offer the class 4 laser, and it will take that pain away as well as or even better than the cortisone injection. So we're moving away from the invasive cortisone shots and more into the laser. I mean, plantar fasciitis is such a common problem. You get up in the morning, first step pain, it wears off a little bit, but then you go to get up and it kills. So getting the patients to do that laser along with stretching, massage therapy, and also orthotics, that usually will take care of the problem.
Yeah, podiatry has always had a very good relationship for the most part with physical therapy, but some problems are surgical problems, and sometimes that's a big part, and podiatry has come a long, long way what are some of the common surgical procedures you guys see?
So we have done a lot of elective surgery over the years, bunions and hammer toes, and even for the plantar fasciitis, we do an endoscopic procedure at times. But really, over the last few years, we've moved away from surgery and much more into a conservative type of practice where possible.
Yes, I agree. As we've seen over the years, again, that orthotics, whether it's taking pressure off someone who's got calluses under the ball of the foot or nerve entrapment, other aspects. And it was interesting in sports medicine all these years ago, I'm dating myself, when we would have athletes who said, I can't get this bunion surgery done. I can't have the neuroma surgery done. We can't do it. And we would use orthotics, and we said, holy cow, they're much more effective than
yes.
We would sometimes think about. And I think that's one of the things that podiatry is still learning, because there's such tremendous emphasis, again, on foot ankle surgery, that many times we see that, again, if you can do the conservative route and not need surgery, then that's a tremendous benefit.
And
I want to thank Dr. Mike.
I appreciate it. And for the neuromas, Doc, I got to tell you, we've had great
success with that laser.
Give me quickly,
Matt, give me the website
before we run. www.betterfootcareny.com, where you can look up New West Podiatry.
Great. Hold on, Matt. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hi, it's Dr. Bob. I need to tell you about Vestibular Training Products and Services. Founded by master figure skating coach Sheila Thielen, these important tools help with all types of balance challenges. Very exciting harnesses and spinning platforms. Vestibular Training Products and Services are a valuable tool for athletes and the general public. It's an effective post-concussion, traumatic brain injury, balance challenges with autism and other vestibular disabilities, and key areas of use. Go to vestibulartrainingservices.com. vestibulartrainingservices.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor and the Sports Doctor's In segment, where we answer a few emails, we talk about some upcoming guests and shows, and then we tap in a little bit to some of the lessons we continue to learn from the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, or our exciting The Sports Doctors in Hey Sports Parents. The next couple of weeks, we've got some great guests. Sean Stewart. Sean has got a sports show for, gosh, the past 10 years. I think I've spent every other month, day a month with him for 6 or 7 years, sports with Sean. He does some play-by-play for some of the different games, networks at different levels. So we're excited to finally get him on. And then we're going to be talking burnout on prevention, of especially with what's going on with Dr. Greg Hammer. The following week, one of the top experts in the world of concussions, cheerleading, attorney activist Kimberly Archie will be joining me. And then Hillary Loftus, who's the educational director of the organization working with our veterans, will be also tapping in. She's very active in the world of hyperbaric oxygen and its role in concussion treatment and therapy. We've got a few emails. My old tennis coach friend Timmer says a 13-year-old tennis player, she's a top kid. She's been dealing with turf toe. Or what's your thoughts? You know, turf toe is not a medical diagnosis. As a generality, it's a inflammation of the tendons and capsule that surrounds the big toe joint, whether somebody just hyperflexes that when they're pushing off, or someone lands on somebody, there's excessive stress to the area causing tendonitis or inflammation. Also, the two bones under the ball of the foot called sesamoids, which are movable bones, also could be thrown in to this category. And this can be very debilitating and very persistent. So what we want to do is we want to take a look at this kid and look at orthotics very, very seriously to unload that particular area of the foot and reduce excessive stress that might be involved. We don't know whether this young girl has got excessive flat feet or pronated feet, whether she's got excessively high arches. But we do know that this problem is becoming persistent. So many times we'll see the combination of intelligent rest. Let's check out what shoe she's in. Let's see what kind of therapy or treatment she's getting, and look seriously at a custom orthotic to try to change the mechanical stress to that area. Betty says, I'm 55 years old. I love walking. I've got bad calluses under the ball of foot, right under my little toe, under the big toe. Can podiatry help me? Oh, big time, Betty. For 100 years, podiatry has been around to comfortably shave calluses. It's not a pedicure. The surgical instrument to painlessly trim calluses where people could hobble into the office and dance on their way out with immediate relief. And some people might be once a month, maybe every other month, they might get this type of what's called palliative care, which can be extremely helpful. Also, the idea, the proper type of orthotic insert to redistribute weight, take pressure off those calluses, can be extremely beneficial. When you combine that along with a possible shoe recommendation change, we would expect that you would be much, much more comfortable. For example, if someone has calluses that hurt every 12 or 13 weeks, they might get them trimmed every 11 or 12 weeks and stay comfortable. And then look at that foot mechanics, what could be done to redistribute weight. Podiatry can really help you. Scott says, my 11-year-old son loves hockey. He tries to play 3 times a week. His feet are always hurting him. Is it a boot problem? You know, Scott, it's probably a foot mechanics concern. You talk about his feet always hurt. So one of the things we'd want to know is what is his foot type? Has he got flat feet, pronated feet? That's one of the most common problematic feet in skaters, whether it's figure skating or it's hockey. Boots, correct only so far. You want to make sure, of course, that he's fit properly. But after that, there's not much that boots can do. You want to be looking at foot mechanics. I've been putting orthotics in hockey players as young as 6, 7, 8 years old, and figure skaters the same ages for 20 years is still in them. And that would be a huge weapon to prevent trouble with great success, calm down that foot discomfort. So we want to make sure he's in the right boot. We want to make sure he's fit properly. And you want to see podiatry, because orthotics done properly can make a big difference. Over-the-counter Superfeet for decades has been one of the inserts we would use. We're looking to throw somebody in something right away, see if it's helpful. It's not a custom device, but it might help. So you really want to look at that with a lot of optimism, because it's a common problem. When hockey skates, they lock that foot in position, and they exaggerate often imbalances. Oh, by the way, the orthotics will make your son 2 steps quicker. Couple of comments here on, hey, sports parents, the sports doctors in our online discussion in order to come up with a game plan for this son or daughter of parents and or coaches, various ages, all sorts of different sports, even more attention with this chaos with the virus, with some sports not being played. All of a sudden we're rushing back to activity, maybe looking someone's injured, they didn't spend enough time training, et cetera, et cetera. www.thesportsdoctor.online. And you're welcome to a free consultation. I have a group of over 20 experts that we refer to, that we recommend. It might be in the world of nutrition. It might be involving physical training. Might be involving mental training. Might be involving coaching. Might be involving specific other kinds of topics. If it's a sports injury, if we're talking in that world, I'm the quarterback. So I am listening to the story of that mom and dad. For example, we had a young 14-year-old cross-country runner. He's been plagued by shin splint problems on and off. He's changed shoes. He's been to physical therapy. He's been with a crazy schedule. All of a sudden, he was going to be participating in a fall cross-country season. And we were talking about with his mom and dad about having some biomechanical evaluation of this young boy. Most shin splints are foot related if they're persistent. And shin splint isn't a medical diagnosis. Is it a stress fracture? So we talked about recommending further testing. We talked about recommending some strengthening and physical therapy. We also talked about orthotics. So www.thesportsdoctorsin, check that out, and we would be glad to help. Everybody, stay informed, stay safe. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.